We're going to... I know this kills you, Howard, but we got to cut it early.
What do you mean we got to cut it early?
The intro music.
That's all right. We'll save it for the next show.
I realize that people, ever since they made the podcast app just like part of iOS 8 and you cannot escape it, people are going to screw off on it. The same way that like now I can't delete that health app. Like, and so I'll pretend to track my calories for a day. And then I just get disappointed. I'm like, oh, no wonder I have breasts. And then I just put it off into a folder of apps I cannot delete, like the stock app.
I hate the stock app.
What is with that? And then there's with the newsstand. Is newsstand still around? Has that gotten deleted?
I literally have a page at the end of the like home screen, and it's just like crap that Apple makes me have on my phone.
It's very, very savage of them. It's the one thing. It's the one thing I would give to Android. At least you could probably delete everything.
Folks, no, actually.
You can't? Okay. Then
they're
Apple,
both terrible.
Apple wins. Well, you have that cute little green guy. I like that. He's adorable.
He is adorable.
I kind of wish he would dance around sometimes.
Do a little jig.
Like, yeah. Da, 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 da,
da. All right, folks. It's Papa's Basement. I'm John Papa Giorgio. I'm joined again by a full cast. We have, first of all, loyal... henchman? Sidekick? What are you? What do you want to be?
I guess temporary sidekick.
Temporary sidekick.
I'm holding a place for your reality show. Aren't you going to replace me with somebody through some sort of Survivor series?
Just a much better looking Asian man. maybe...
But not as tall.
That's true. That's true. Howard, does... he has a weird mule thing going. the white height and the... the mysterious yellow good looks. All right, we got Howard Flood. Howard's lovely girlfriend, Rachel. Do we want your last name on air? You don't care?
No, thank you.
No, it's just mysterious Rachel.
Like Madonna, just one name.
There you go. If we can get a couple drag queens to buy into the Rachel mystique and dress like you, it'd be awesome.
It'd be a lot of fun.
Pimp the show at their shows. Last but not least, we are joined again with a fourth mic. This week we are being delighted by Derek. Derek, I don't remember your last name at all.
Sawyer.
Derek Sawyer. He's a comedian in the area, and I've been randomly chilling with Derek for the past several hours. It's been a mess trying to plan this show the last couple of weeks because we do it at a public access station that had messed up hours due to Columbus Day.
Kill the Natives Day.
Yeah. It's true, yeah. I kind of wanted to give someone gonorrhea and then behead them.
I was looking for India, but I found this new place, so I'll call the people here Indians Day.
Yes,
it's Smallpox Appreciation Day.
Yeah, see, did he do the smallpoxing?
I thought
was the Spanish conquistadors.
That was done on the Trail of Tears.
There we go. But I tried to make that happen. I was Googling it. I was like, Columbus and smallpox. And it's like, no, his men just grabbed the little babies by their feet and like beat their heads against rocks and threw everyone into pits of spikes.
He was a wonderful, wonderful man.
Either way, it sounds like Game of Thrones to me.
There you go. But last week, I think we wound up thinking that we had to record later. We somehow erroneously thought that was Columbus Day. We were wrong. Today was Columbus Day. Derek showed up at noon waiting to come in the studio, and he called me right as he showed up, and he's like, hey, John, it's Derek. I'm hooked. And then it cuts out, and I tried to explain to him, hey, Derek, we won't be there till 4. And then I figured there's no way Derek's just going to sit and wait like a goon.
Hey, man,
to get in the show. So I take my time. I go and I get a haircut. And at first I'm stressed while getting the haircut because I'm like, well, if he calls, I'm going to have to be rude and interrupt my haircut to take the call. I'm going to be that guy, but I can't be a dick to Derek. And he doesn't call. And I'm like, maybe I'm scot-free. So then I go to not Sam's Club. What's the good one? The not evil Sam's Club.
Costco.
There we go. I remember things. So I go to Costco. I get my Rogaine. And Rogaine was $10 off this month, so I got the name brand stuff, not the.
Did you get the value pack? Because you know, like the
four
eight cans of. Because I feel like they don't sell anything at Costco.
Well, yeah, it's not one of.
Like,
it's not like buying a Lucy from a 7-Eleven. No, you get your 4 months of Rogaine of the foam, not the drip drip, because that just dries and looks like dandruff. Then I've had the new edition of Skylanders waiting for me for a week at GameStop. GameStop was busy, but I'm like, doesn't matter. haven't heard from Derek. I'm sure he's gone by now. So I take my time and dilly-dally and buy Skylanders. And then finally, I drive into the studio 90 minutes early. And there's just a dude sitting out front in an empty parking lot with Cheetos and a Monster energy drink. And I'm like, well, if I had to peg anyone as a comedian driving an hour to get on this piece of crap, I'm guessing this is him. And sure enough, we do our introductions. I like him. Derek has a nervous energy about him that I'm enjoying.
It's good for radio.
Yeah, he looks, I said David Cross at first. There's also some Hank the Angry Drunken Dwarf, if you know Howard Stern at all.
Not particularly, okay. But I'm imagining an angry drunk dwarf.
Yes.
That sounds pretty awesome.
There's a little bit of that in the mix, but I'm enjoying my time with Derek. Your first line to me, you're like, I'm sorry that my phone died. I like how you apologize first. That's how I knew I was in right. It wasn't, where the hell have you been? You're like, so sorry my phone died, man. I'm like, yeah, you should be sorry, you son of a bitch. And
you are a gentleman and a scholar, sir.
He says, sorry my phone died. What are you on that
it's,
makes...
Ativan.
Ativan.
It's for anxiety, but it has the added side effect of making you forget things, like to plug in your phone charger or to put on pants when you go to get the newspaper or something like that.
All right. I thought it was more of like an antipsychotic. So
No.
I was like, that is nice. A dude on hardcore meds that I met on Craigslist is going to be spending 2 hours with me, and I don't have a studio to run into.
All right. Let's be fair here. From my point of view, I answer an ad on Craigslist for a show called Papa's Basement that has a clown face as its logo.
All right, that was
equally terrifying for me.
and yet you came.
Oh, I like it when the chicks reply. And like he's made a great case. It does look freaky as hell.
No, it totally does. Like, I was expecting Fagos to be all over the place and three rapping clowns to come out, rap three songs, and murder me with a hatchet.
We were both disappointed. But, I've been shooting the S with Derek these past couple hours.
Did you guys go somewhere? Have a little mandate?
We went to Target.
Okay. Is this a budding bromance? Are we interrupting? Is this a double date right now?
It followed the timetable of a romantic comedy. Those first 30 minutes, I didn't know where things were going. Maybe they could have gone south. And, like, by the 90-minute mark, I'm like, I think everything's going to work out just fine.
I call Jason Siegel.
There you go. Pull it out then and do a puppet show. All right. So that's Derek's introduction. I'm enjoying him. He lives so far away, though. God, does he live far away. Much farther than you did in Baltimore. And he lives in a bad direction, a hick direction.
Just as far as the Doyenian, right?
No, beyond.
Oh, really?
Beyond sweet, sweet Matt Doyen.
Further than Allison? Or about?
Yes. No.
Comparable.
This man's on the way to JMU.
Okay.
For those that don't know, that's a good, 80 minutes from here?
Probably about that.
Okay, so you're in Harrisonburg?
No, I'm in Woodstock, which is halfway between Harrisonburg and Winchester. There is nothing to do there, which is why I hauled myself up here.
Both bustling metropolises, by the way.
Here's when we
name-check these distances, people are like, oh!
Wait, isn't there wine in Winchester? I'm pretty sure there's wine out there.
I'm pretty sure there's wine everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
You could go to a gas station and get wine.
No, I mean like vineyards.
Yeah, there's a couple of vineyards around.
That's something to do. I love going to vineyards.
But you're a girl that makes money. Not that you need money to drink wine. I've seen plenty of bums that specialize in it.
What you really need is a designated driver. That's what you really need.
Or just like a horse and a carriage.
That too.
Nah, you can get an HUI.
Yeah. Yeah, this man got driven here for a reason. There's a reason he didn't have a car to scamper off and just sat and waited. Speaking of comedy, speaking of comedians... He's a young up-and-comer, by the way. That's how I'm doing this transition. I've been devouring a book by Mike Sachs. And I'm not saying he's like a huge comedy name, but if you know comedy, I think you know Mike Sachs. Just a dude that randomly, I'm friends with him on Twitter. He's friends with me. I don't know how that worked out. He's actually from this area as well.
You guys are not mere followers on Twitter, but you're friends on Twitter.
Yeah,
like you upgraded.
Are. Yeah, oh yeah, no. We did the thing that Derek and I did. Except Mike is plugged into comedy and lives in New York, and Derek is starting in comedy and lives in Woodstock.
Right. When we do another interview in 10 years, you can kiss my ass.
There you go. Like, I live in Harrisonburg now and have still gone nowhere. Mike was kind enough to send me his Poking a Dead Frog Conversations with Today's Top Comedy Writers book. And normally if someone sends you something for free online, it's along the lines of my comic.
Right.
The Spookies. Like, I'm sending it out, and I'm like, if you can get $3 for it, that'd be great. Here's some stickers as well. Put them on the drive-through window at the Arby's, and people will see my site, and they'll visit it, because that's how promotion works.
People still eat at Arby's?
It's the saddest. Out of all the fast food restaurants and the fast food mecca near our house, near the convention center, Arby's is the ghost town. Arby's just looks on at Chick-fil-A like, what do I have to do?
But Arby's is open on Sundays.
That's true. Exactly. They don't honor the Sabbath. So this Poking a Dead Frog book, if you are into comedy at all, and I figure if you're listening to this show, it's because you either greatly love or greatly hate laughter. I can't really peg which. But I cannot recommend this book enough. The interviews this dude has, and I'm trying to remember, I just got through one with one of the Monty Python guys, and interspersed between these interviews are little, just like two-page, three-page pieces that were given to him by writers just about the business. I just got something by Diablo Cody when she's talking about like her writing process and how she loves to do scripts for herself but never wanted to work in a writer's room. Dude, it's profoundly good. I can't help but think that if I found this book at age 20 and if it existed back then, I would be leading a wildly different life away from you three.
So this is actually inspiring you a little bit then to like find your method at this point?
It's inspiring me to not masturbate and play Diablo, even though it's double experience for the week.
Okay.
I mean, 100%, is the leveling is easy, but I need to write.
Yeah. You do. Because one thing you and I have talked about before is that I don't necessarily see you at this stage being a sitcom writer, you know, sitting in those boardrooms trying to like riff with people in order to come up with like a full 30-minute script.
Which is a lot of what's in this book, by the way. Guys who do that.
I mean, reading that stuff, do you find that at all appealing? Or does it just like kill your desire to ever want to work for a sitcom?
It doesn't sound bad. I mean, it sounds like, okay, here's the good and here's the bad of it. The good, you're working with very funny people.
Right.
It sounds like it's not too critical a place to work. I mean, you kind of just say that works, that doesn't work. This isn't like the basement of the Comedy Cellar where you're savaging each other for sport.
Where it's like, that joke's dumb, next.
You know, it isn't like Patrice O'Neill sees Rich Voss walking in with a purple hat, and the next 6 hours he's calling him Grimace. Just, you know, crapping all over the man. That's the good of it. The bad is the sense of humor might not be exactly what I bring to the table. I think I am a little meaner overall than a lot of what does work in this environment.
Okay.
A lot of the Rachel.
I think TV is trending meaner, though. Like, it's not the sitcom of even, like, the Cosby years or even, like, Married with Children. Sitcoms today are mean.
They can be, but I
was... Even Big Bang Theory, they're mean to each other.
I was reading something from one of the guys that works on, I think maybe he's the showrunner for Parks and Rec, and I can't recall the name. I had the book to quote on air, and then I left it at my house because I am awesome like that.
Solid move.
Yes. Prep be damned. I try to do it, and even then it doesn't work out. And he was stating that he doesn't like shows where they tear each other down. He's like, the whole point of entertainment, I feel, is to show this world where, hey, we're all alone and it does suck, and the only thing that makes it worth a damn is when we get together, when we have a community, you know what I mean, that pulls together. And I'm not saying that's bad. I'm not saying I couldn't be nice and sweet. This is great, by the way. This is like hearing a 5'8" Greek guy, but you know, to talk for the sake of hypotheticals. And he's like, I'm not sure I can play in today's NBA because it's just not 3-point oriented enough for me. I could play in the NBA, but I'm not sure I want to. And everyone's just staring and just lovingly nodding at me like, I don't want to cross him. Things could happen if I do.
I mean, if you want to work mean in television, go to FX or Adult Swim. I mean,
no, you're right.
None of that is
Always Sunny
surprising.
Is just cruelty for the sake of cruelty to this day. I'm not saying it's the funniest, but I still love it. I still love it. I don't know. Do you guys want to add anything? I brought this book up right before air, and Howard was like, dude, you have to talk about that book before anything. And I completely agree because it's what I've been taking with me in the John and everywhere else. So yeah, but,
so you're only partway through, right? At this stage, you're about like you're just kind of jumping around reading it, right? Or have you like just finished? You're done.
No. I'm like maybe a third through or something like that.
Okay, so you're still trying to figure out like all the variety of comic writers that he's interviewing, from stand up to film to like what about script writers for movies? Is there anything about that yet, or you haven't really gotten to people talking about?
I have not gotten to comedy scripts for movies yet. The one thing that a couple TV guys have said, I don't see why people jack it so hard to the thought that when you write a comedy movie, you have arrived. And they were going on and on, extolling the virtues of actually a comedy, you know, just TV shows, 30 minutes, 60 minutes. They're like, to me, that's it. I don't really get why you think you have to do a script. Like, if you do a comedy movie, you really have to put in this trite ending, you know what I mean? It's not as free. So that's the extent of what comedy movies have been mentioned thus far.
But I'm really hoping that before...
The one thing I've noticed is that these writers, like, write. That's one thing I took away. So if I want to be a comedy writer, I should probably write.
Yeah, yeah, I mean...
That's pretty key.
Yeah.
Kind of hard to be a writer without writing anything.
The lazy way to writing that I've experimented with recently, and you could try this. People at home, give it a shot. I don't know. I like it.
I'm just picturing you in a wheelbarrow with a paintbrush in your left foot.
Where did that
No Daniel Day-Lewis fans? Come on. I'm only referencing a 20-year-old movie here. Work with me, folks.
Just try to find a dictation system.
Do it with Siri, and then I send my work over to Jerry. That's how I write the comic a lot, and I'll send it to Jerry, and he'll be like, I can't even read this.
You should probably edit it. That's the key with you, man. If you could like look at your own material and then like work on it a second time, I think that would be a starting point for you.
That sounded
you
just... like such an extended euphemism for masturbation. sorry, and then I just wanted to go on a wanking riff with this man. We haven't talked, Derek. Derek, how much do you do that? How much do you dabble in the dark arts?
Not as much as one would think.
Okay. Yeah. He's 21 and kind of doing the solo thing, much like I did at 21, but I beat off as much as one would think.
I think you're looking for the word 31, John.
No, he's 21. I'm 33. I'm old.
No, I know, but I'm saying that you were solo and just jacking it at 31.
Completely missed the insult.
Yeah. You're looking for 11 a.m.
I do love it when I have to spell out my insults. Thank you.
I just saw that Abigail Spencer video, that fappening leak that just keeps on going. I love it. It's like Ebola. You think it happened once and they've cured it, and then it's like, oh no, the nurse has it now. It's like everyone's gonna have a fappening. There's gonna be a Joan Rivers fappening leak.
Oh no!
Before this
Please
thing
no!
Is done.
Please,
oh my God!
No!
I'm not a fan of necrophilia.
Not in the current state.
I'm not sure it's any better if she was alive. Like, no, come on.
Most
she
of her was plastic.
Exactly.
There is. I did not know who the hell Abigail Spencer was before this morning, but I put out one of the episodes of the show. It was actually one of the family shows, the Papa's Family Roundtable. I like how I stuttered on the name. Like, I do this thing, and what is it called? And very loyal listener, Samius Gorobo. I don't know how the hell to pronounce this name. He just hit me up via DM. He's like, have you seen this video? Just Google Abigail Spencer masturbating. I'm like, I've heard worse phrases to Google in my day. And
like Joan Rivers masturbating?
Yes, perfect example.
And Robin Williams masturbating, I think, would be a little worse.
I don't know.
It'd at least be hairier.
I think it'd be really funny if he wasn't being Robin Williams during it, and he just had this like one angry look on his face, and it's just silent, and then he comes. I'm like,
I don't know that he had the attention span to actually all the way there.
It was his one respite from his mind. Like normally he's, oh yes, wonderful, you know, that kind of stuff. But instead, he just puts on porn, and it's just 18 minutes of silence. And he's got this Popeye grimace on his face. He's like, that I would love. Yeah, Google that. Google that, not in traffic.
Okay, so on my lunch break at work?
Yeah.
Okay.
And not if there's like a little kid on your lap.
How often do I keep little... Do you really think I keep little kids on my lap all the time at work?
I don't... I mean, relatives.
I work at a Civil War museum, all right? There are no little kids that go to museums anymore.
I mean, I'm not saying if I looked at you on the street and I had a kid, I'd be like, hey, could you bounce him? Can you play the pony game for a bit? but I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't be afraid that you'd slip one up there either. So yeah, that's that is some good stuff. That hit me like when you first find a Playboy in the woods, which kids don't get to do nowadays.
Because they're not allowed outside.
That too, but I mean, I guess what the equivalent would be, you find a thumb drive. Except yeah. Now not even the USB drive exists. What kid will be like, where do I put this on my iPad? And that'd be yeah. the end of it. Oh my God. But there was a time when pornography predated the digital era that you would always find random. Who did that wood porn? Who was that guy?
Oh, who threw yeah. porn into the woods?
Yeah. Was it like someone doing the Lord's work?
was it priests.
Dark Lord's work.
Was it like a masturbating Johnny Appleseed? Like
it was a highly untalked about section of the Catholic Church. So not the Jesuits, but you know, there's this very unknown section of priests that just throw porn in the woods.
I truly don't know, but there is always that wooded porn. And that's what it 20 years later, you just want to recapture that innocence. When you first see a nipple and you're like, oh, I've been working with the Sears catalog for 5 years. That's what that looks like when it's not on my mom. And my God, just seeing these videos. I don't know the girl from Eve, I guess you'd say when it's a girl instead of Adam.
Sounds about right.
My God, man. My sweet God. She does everything on a video you would want a girl to do. That's it. That was just my creepy detour.
All right.
I'm trying to give Mike Sachs a lovely plug. We're going to talk about his book a lot. Hopefully one day I can have him on the show. And
Definitely.
Then I just veer into this. And I'm like, if you're not reading Mike Sachs' book, might I recommend masturbating to these images?
You know, if the written word just doesn't do it for you.
Yeah.
You know, because you got to have
some
goals.
Images.
Oh, God. And now I'm just thinking of, was it Blinken from Men in Tights? The guy who had the 3D playback. I saw the movie once 25 years ago.
No,
it's the one thing I retain.
Because it like folded out.
Yeah, yeah. Lovely. It was like
that's yeah, a great movie.
A relief of pornography.
So is that, and then I like the part where Mel Brooks is offering circumcisions, and and one guy's like, "I'll take two."
See, I forgot entirely he was in it.
Blink and put your hand down.
That's how long it's been. You guys. None of you do satellite radio at all, right? Like in terms of listening. God help me if you're on it.
No, I'm not on it.
The things I would do to you on air.
I used to listen to the Red Sox games on Sirius. We got that for like a year because, you know, fuck FanDark TV.
It was just in a... You said a naughty. I said don't drop that word.
It's my bad.
23, right? Or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. We'll bleep that out.
That's
all good.
That's my bad.
You've ruined everything.
Well, that's what I do.
Go. I've been without my Sirius unit for 2 weeks now. I got a new car and it's so newfangled that they're like, we don't even need the headphone in jack anymore. And that's how my Sirius unit works.
That's terrible.
That's how I feel. Thank you. Thank you.
I was upset when they got rid of the tape deck, not because I had tapes, but do you remember when the tape had like the little wire that came out that you could plug into like your CD player?
Yeah, a tape adapter. Oh, yeah,
no. Yeah. I was sad when they got rid of that, but then they had the little outlet. The aux jack or whatever it is.
Yeah, they have gotten rid of everything to the point I can only plug in a USB cord from a phone or I can Bluetooth it.
That's crap.
And I have been making do with everything I thought I was better than for the last 5 years as I drive around with my like free former employee subscription to the Sirius unit. I'm like, I have Opie and Anthony. I got Stern if I want to dabble with that. There's Ron and Fez. Life is great. And I have had 2 weeks of sports talk and NPR. And that's the best of the best. That's as good as it gets. It's either that or I'm listening to Katy Perry and nothing against pop music, but...
No, everything against pop music. It is terrible.
And it's repetitive. It's just,
it's
it keeps
awful.
Coming back.
They write 4 songs and then retool them every 6 months.
It's like a zombie invasion whenever I put on, like an acoustic zombie invasion. Just, they won't die.
It's not that I don't dabble, but for whatever reason, I'm not feeling it right now. So I have been doing most of my work with NPR. And I think what's been captivating me about it, and I cannot get over this, is how unlistenable some of the voices are. And you'd think that would be important, in radio.
You would think.
Yes, like you wouldn't. But then again, Heather Mills was a model and she had one leg. So what the hell do I know? Maybe we can get a titless chick working at Hooters while we're at it. Just lost them both in the war. You know what I mean?
That's breaking the glass ceiling.
I do not get, it's two figures in particular on, Rachel, you seem to be a vet of NPR in the area. It's
because I gave up on pop radio long time ago. And I was like, NPR, sure. Tell me some stories about what's going on.
Yeah,
they're mostly depressing, but you know, sometimes there's a nice, you know, light.
It's WAMU.
88.5.
Yeah, out of American University. And I think the morning is anchored by Diane Rehm.
Mm-hmm. She's like, she's the 10 to noon spot, and then Kojo's like noon to 1 or
noon
to 2.
And then...
Which, incidentally, is when I drive to work.
It's this 1-2. It's like the 3 and 4 hitters in a lineup of unlistenability. It's Diane Rehm and then Kojo Nandi. Diane Rehm is just old.
Like, no, she's not. The thing is so funny, she's not. Google her picture. She's like, I mean, she's not young. I think she's like in her 60s, but she looks.
She has like silver hair.
I thought she was going to look like Madeleine Albright, you know, or like Margaret Thatcher, you know, right before she died. I thought that she was that old by listening to her. And now she kind of looks like Paula Deen if Paula Deen weighed half of what Paula Deen weighs.
So not Paula Deen.
Well,
Paula, you know, half of a Paula Deen.
The voice, though, is mesmerizingly old. Like, the voice is old.
It's
incarnation
like
of
the old crone that, like, is telling you something wise, and if you don't follow it, like, you'll be cursed forever.
Yeah, she's like the witch in Conan.
I was thinking the, like, you know, either with the apple and Snow White, like the ugly witch.
That bitch is sexy, like, by comparison. She's at least got a better laugh. Diane Rehm's laugh is just like you hear a slow hinge opening and then a bat flies out. It is horrific. It is the cover of Meatloaf's Bat Out of Hell. That is it. But I was trying to get some audio of Diane for the show so people didn't feel lost. And I found this interview of her with Maria Hinojosa. Hinojosa. I don't know if it's Latin or what the hell. I'm butchering it. I don't care. And she's going on about how something happened to her throat.
Yeah, she has like Bell's palsy, I think it is.
Yeah, so now I'm horrible.
Yeah.
For making fun of this, but I can't help it. I just
it's tough to listen to.
But
I do really like her though.
When
she has good days.
When Kirby Puckett's eyes exploded from glaucoma, the Twins didn't let him just sit at the plate and like wildly flail two bats in the chance he might get a hit. Like sometimes you got to perform up to what the tasks, you know, of your field demand.
She should probably have been moved to the producer's chair.
Yeah.
That's probably
fair. I think what they're doing now, because I haven't actually heard her on in a while. And I don't listen. I walk to work now, so I don't have those like 15, 20 minutes in the car with NPR anymore.
With your Sony tape deck. Apparently, that's your thing.
I'm super cool on all the new technology. Yeah.
But what's really, really getting me about it is... can't they do anything in production with her voice? Like, I was thinking, they have auto-tune.
Yeah.
Can't we do, like, a young tune?
Yeah, T-Pain that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true.
Put her on a boat, dude.
This is where, if I had a production budget, I would be like, I think it sounds something like this. And then I hit a button. We don't. Nothing's going to happen. I'm just going to play the clip of Diane Rehm's. Or Diane Rehm. I feel like a brother. That Diane Rehm's! I'm like Tracy Morgan, almost. Let's play it, though. This is the clip where I learned something horrible happened to her, and I shouldn't make fun of her voice, but I can't help it. Here goes.
Anne has, and I don't know how you want to call it, but a disability, and that she's on the air.
She's just
and I have to
sitting
listen
here
to it.
Smiling.
Makes me
I'm
realize
sorry,
that
Rachel.
I am vulnerable.
Agree to disagree. She does look fairly old.
That NPR, that Sirius satellite. That armed forces.
And this is the nicest
network.
It sounds.
She sounds 90, but she's not.
She sounds like one of the Golden Girls with a 3-pack a day habit.
Fan coverage. All over.
Maybe she's B. Arthur incarnated.
Says
they all had sassier voices than this. This is the nicest her voice will ever sound.
Yeah,
by the way.
She sounds much worse than that these days.
Oh, it's horrible. This is her with hours of coaching.
And the pause. I think she gets like injections. Someone told me she got like injections in her vocal cords to like make them spasm less. Maybe it's like Botox or something like that.
I don't know. It's probably like a big vial of stem cells. It looks like ectoplasm in a horse syringe.
But if you can catch her right after she's had a treatment. Solid.
she's
but
good.
But then it's just like it's this declining.
Why don't they just give her like a vat, like a punch bowl of fetuses, and she can just gargle with it during each break?
Or, you know, they could give her like whatever Stephen Hawking has with the like the chair that talks for him.
I'd be okay with that.
You know, like I would rather hear the Siri voice.
Or like a monkey that she has to use a straw to blow on its ass so it hits the right keys. Yeah, something like that.
I mean, in all seriousness, they really could have her record off air and then just have somebody sit in and read a script, basically. You could just have an actor or some sort of voice actor.
Now in to play Diane Reams.
What, you wouldn't say it that way. You just call
illness. The part of Diane Reams will be played today by...
You could call him Kojo.
Hi, I am Diane Reams. But literally, you could have
Welcome
an interview.
To the Kojo Nandi Show.
You could have an interview where the person sits with Diane Reams, or Reem, whatever, and then they just edit
Diane
out all her...
Reams!
And you just edit in John Papagiorgio's voice whenever she talks, and then it sounds as if that person's having
Here's the thing, though, about Diane Reams. She actually is really good at doing the, like, panel thing. Like, she actually will get really...
So you're saying whenever she's not
really
talking
good
a lot...
Yeah, so
the bigger
she's
the panel, the better. If they can do heavy lifting, that's great.
No, but she gets them to answer questions that are thoughtful, and she gets them to really kind of, I think, be better than if they were just allowed to, like, roam free. And she doesn't let them, like, sidestep questions they don't want to answer. She's like, no, that's not what I asked you. And she'll, like, you know, make them answer. So I like her, like, in that interactive kind of way.
And this is where NPR loses ground to conservative radio. In conservative radio, if a guy hiccups on air, they will take him out back and give him a horse pain pill. You know what I'm saying? Right. That's it. He'll come back. And it's like, it is now the Thomas Stevens Show. And okay, what's up?
That doesn't explain why Rush Limbaugh's still on the air.
Yeah. Okay. I want to.
I think it's because there's not enough horse tranquilizer in the world to actually put him down.
That dude got arrested for
soliciting
for
a hooker, right?
Soliciting a hooker and traveling across state lines with like illegally acquired OxyContin.
Nice.
Like,
really?
Like just a fat sack of them. Like, I mean, they look,
picturing
it looked like
him
a
with
loose
like
bag of Tic Tacs.
The Hunter S. Thompson cigarette holder now. I'm loving it. Wow, he did all that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And
he's a terrible person.
I mean, that's not the way to make that case.
Yeah.
No.
I wouldn't say hookers and drugs make you a terrible person.
No.
He's terrible for other reasons.
He sounds like a blast.
Hookers and drugs kind of make him relatable. And,
yeah.
You know,
that's why
like,
the kids love
him. Yeah, that's for the kids.
Yeah.
You already wrote a kid's book, right?
No, now I'm just picturing him like on the toilet trying to take a big constipated opiate dump and getting a hooker to burst.
That's terrible.
Come in here and blow me. Maybe it will loosen something.
No, man, that opiate backup is no joke. I just had back surgery 2 months ago.
You still got it in you.
Well, no, not anymore. They were like, we're not giving you any more drugs, even if you hurt. Like, this isn't safe.
Oh.
No, but the thing of back surgery is, like, you wake up and it feels like somebody cut you open, stuffed you with candy, sewed you back up, and let little Latino kids smack you with a stick at a birthday party. So you wake
feels
up.
Feels like pretty much what it was.
Did
oh, yeah. Yeah,
did the
no,
kids
totally.
Have to be Latino? Or,
yes.
You know, could
I,
they be Asian?
Yes. I don't know. Have you watched,
perhaps
have you watched,
white?
Okay, have you watched baseball lately? Because the only ones getting hits. Like, just saying. Like.
Maybe on the good day it's the white kids, so they're not hitting you as hard?
Yeah, occasionally Pedroia gets one in here every now and again.
Oh, man. Let's do a little Kojo. It's Kojo Namdi.
I'm Kojo Namdi.
All you have to do for a successful Kojo Namdi, and again, we go from Diane Reams, who, if you want to, she has a podcast out. So if you want to hear what the voice is like currently, simply download the Diane Reams, R-E-H-M podcast, and you can hear exactly what I'm talking about. And then it transitions seamlessly into Kojo Namdi for my afternoons.
You know what sucks, though? I like the Diane Reams classical piano intro music. Like, that's my jam. But, like, this Kojo Namdi dun. Dun, dun, dun,
I think
it's
we
like
might
bad
have it.
80s, like tribal. Like, it's terrible.
Whoa. None of that on this show. Why does it have to be tribal?
No, because it has that like vibe to it. I didn't pick the music. Play it.
Cue All it right. up.
Here's Kojo. I think we might not have the music, but please start talking, Kojo. Please.
That's not the music.
Very tribal.
That's not the music.
That sounds like a blaxploitation film.
Yeah, exactly. It's like we cut to Rudy Ray Moore getting filleted by two prostitutes.
I'm Kojo Namdi.
He sounds like King Jaffe Jar of Zamunda. That's all you have to do. Kodo Namdi impression.
He has different music now, just for...
It's...
Today we're joined in studio by six candidates running for
at
large seat on the DC Council in a special election 2 weeks from
He sounds like a dictator that we brought to power, but and then he was displaced, and we let him hide in DC. And
his, he reminds me
that
of
could be his story. His undercover identity is just NPR host Kodo Namdi.
Nobody will expect a war criminal.
I don't know. I always picture Eddie Murphy in Coming to America when he's talking.
That's what that sounded like. I was trying to place
it. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Wow.
And like during breaks, he just opens his desk drawer and it's like a picture of him in full regalia.
Ah, the good old days.
We've got like an AK and three child soldiers like in the corner. One of them's got like coke laid out on a mirror or something.
And after tomorrow, none of us will be heard of again. Kojo's going to come get us.
Don't F with Kojo.
That was a little Arnold.
Yeah.
This is great. We're making fun of his immigrant voice.
Yeah.
We just follow up on making fun of Diane's retarded dolphin voice. This is a ridiculous episode.
We're just saying be young and white if you're on air. That's so bad.
Or no, the guy in the evenings who does the little, what's his name? There's like four of them that rotate on All Things Considered.
Oh, yeah.
They have good voices on All Things Considered.
They do.
I'm Pat Brogan, and I'm, you know.
Who is, is it Lakshmi Singh?
I'm Lakshmi Singh.
I love, so when an Indian chick has that the clipped British voice.
She does. Is she Indian? I always thought she was some other kind of Asian.
Lakshmi Singh, she is not Taiwanese.
I have no idea.
I will go out on that limb. Oh, man. Diane Reams has got me on the subject now of beautiful women.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, seamless segue number three. I was in a Denny's. Not to play up how I live my life, but I was in a Denny's, I think, last Thursday? Something like that. And out of nowhere, because it's a Denny's at midnight, you expect just drunk people... Not that they have to be trolls, but...
I mean, I've worked in a Denny's. I've washed dishes.
Whoa, slow down there, bragger.
Not that one. Oh, I'm not bragging.
Don't name drop here.
This is a word of warning.
Yeah.
The midnight, like the late
Denny's?
Shift? No, the late night shift at any Denny's is going to be the weirdest parade of freaks you will ever see.
That's
I
about,
swear to God.
I'm expecting a lot of fat guys who got kicked out of the magic shop and are still like playing cards at the table
I've seen
midnight.
That exact thing. Somebody brought in a risk board one time. Weirdest thing I ever saw. Two guys, one of them obviously a trucker because it was, summer and he had his kid with him and it's 2 a.m.
I thought you were going to say he had the hemorrhoid donut.
Nah, I mean, he may have. I didn't really look to, check what his padding situation was.
And that's why you weren't tipped. Continue.
But I said, this guy's sitting there with his 8-year-old son. They're reading the newspaper. Mm-hmm. I'm expecting the kid to have comics. No. Bring his order out. He's got a cup of black coffee and he takes the business section from his dad. And starts like reading the business section hardcore.
And
in the
that
middle of the night.
Little boy was Donald Trump. Sorry.
He wasn't. He wasn't an orange-haired orangutan of a man.
And now you know the rest of the story.
And now you know. Here's a question.
Sure.
A legitimate question. On the scale of the late night food,
why is everyone being a dirty?
Oh, I'm so sorry.
The dirty.
Now I'm not alone.
My bad. I'm a sailor. What can I say? IHOP or Denny's, which is worse?
Denny's. Far. I've washed the cups back there. They are not safe to drink out of.
Ew.
Denny's is horrific. I had not gone to Denny's in a year because an Indian woman panhandled her way while holding her kid, like she was in the old country, panhandled her way from table to table looking for cash. And then when we tried to report it to the manager, what was going on? And I'm not a cold-hearted son of a bitch, but there are lines in the sand I don't like crossed. Being panhandled at my table I can't roll up the window Michael Bolton Office Space style, not something I like. And then the chick who was managing the place spoke so little English that she didn't understand the word panhandle, and then she just stared at us for a bit and then smiled and laughed and shook her head. And I said, well, that is the last time I'm frequenting this establishment.
Here's the question. Did the woman with the child, did she take the quarters out of that plastic board, that like cardboard thing that's, I feel like every Denny's and IHOP, there's like a cardboard thing where you like.
The bald kid died because of her.
Yeah. Aww. Did she take all the quarters out?
No, I didn't actually see that. God, I wish I did. She beelined out of there once she made the rounds because no one stopped her, and then went to the gas station next door and started harassing people at the pumps.
One hope she bought a 40 over there.
She had balls. Like, she I really begging balls.
As you're telling me this story, I really hope it was like a homeless guy and a homeless dwarf that had like Hollywood level makeup. And they figured, well, nobody's going to give, you know, a smelly bum $2.
Oh, so they dolled up?
Yeah, they dolled themselves up so that then they could go and get Four Locos. And yeah.
Lakshmi Singh Jr. Did not work.
Come on, meanie me.
So I'm at this Denny's, and out of nowhere, two, like, not made up, mind you, just what's up, person knocking? What's our signal?
Looks like I kind of got to duck out early.
Oh, is that your friend?
Yeah.
Derek.
Yeah.
Okay, no problem, man. If you got to head out, you got to head out. But I'm sorry you had to wait.
That's fine.
Glad you got some airtime.
Yep.
This will be on inpapasbasement.com if you want to show it off to your friends.
Yeah,
and
be
they
very
can be
careful.
Like, where are you in this? I don't even hear you. You waited 4 hours for what? But Derek, thanks, man. You can swing by. We'll probably be getting you back in a couple weeks or something like that.
All right. Thanks for having
me. See, he went back on Mike to say that. Kid's got instincts.
Yeah.
I like him. All right.
Cool.
And then there were three. Why don't you just kiss each on the cheek? Get continental with it. All right, man. Later. I like that guy. Anyone whose first words to me are like, I forgot this because I was on my meds. I like that. So, out of nowhere, these two, I'm not exaggerating, 9.5, like, could model, no problem. Types sit down.
You gotta give more description.
Sure. Okay. Each girl, 5'10" at minimum. The one that I thought was prettier of the two, she looked, if you've seen Inglourious Basterds, the blonde chick who turned out to be Jewish or whatever.
I haven't seen the movie. I'm sorry.
Okay. Oh yeah, I vaguely remember that.
Yeah, I forget her name. She's Jewish in real life. That's all I know about her.
Okay.
The tall, the
so
better looking one.
Tall, pretty Jew?
Yes, a blonde Jewess.
A blonde Jewtress.
Both just stunningly, stunningly attractive. And they're dressed
so they look similar, though. They like they appear to hang out because they look similar.
Everyone runs in packs. Right. You know, like you and me, we're both lanky half-Asian men. Everyone runs
I think it's more if you're going to go to a Denny's at that time of night, you probably need a safety buddy.
I mean, if you're this chick, yeah. She would have had a rougher ride than a chick on an Indian bus. What? No love for an international rape crisis joke?
I mean,
All right. F you both. F you both. So, nothing. Immediately, I mean, the entire energy in the restaurant changes around these two. It's nothing but furtive glances in their direction all of a sudden. Sorry, you wanted me to elaborate on their appearance. Neither was buxom per se, but there was enough there to work with, to put it tastefully.
So anorexic, possibly bulimic.
Just a beyond that edge into the whole, I'm not going to see their ribs like a greyhound. Like they look decent. Like if you saw these girls on an LA street, maybe you would have been like, ah, it's Tuesday, who cares? In suburban Fairfax, Virginia, you know, you're trying to do whatever you can to get their attention. I'm playing Bishop's knife game from Aliens. Just like, look at this lady's nimble fingers. Strum a clit like Slash can a guitar. Sorry, just had to put that in there. It had been a while since I had encountered women that looked like this, except for the last time I hung out with my girlfriend. Like,
wait,
put that right.
Weren't
out
you
there.
Watching masturbating chicks on YouTube earlier?
That's
in
not
the day?
In real life. I wasn't masturbating to the masturbating girl on a laptop on a bus, and then everyone was looking at the image of this beautiful woman on the laptop. I'm just saying IRL. It was shocking to see everyone swept up in these two girls. It was a microcosm of everything that stunning women get handed to them on a silver platter every minute of every day. The waiter, I could have birthed a kid on the table and needed hot towels from him to soak my puffy vulva after popping the kid out. He wouldn't have cared. He was on bended knee for these two. You would have thought there was a ketchup crisis. the way he fussed over the salt and pepper ratio for their nachos and burgers.
And I feel like they were like, please, creepy waiter, leave us
alone. Of course. This wasn't a young George Clooney. It was a young Clint Howard. And he thought the way he was going to get into their pants was extra honey mustard for those chicken fingers.
Always a safe bet.
Oh, God. It was... I don't even know why I'm bringing this up, other than the fact... It was such a powerful experience. It was like Mick Jagger walking through a hotel lobby, except for dudes. It was just the Red
he's
Sea party.
He's not that attractive. He's old creepy.
But he's still got that rock star energy. Bono, maybe. I'll throw you a bone. Even Bono's a little old. They both got a hairline. Work with me. Like, as long as you got that hairline.
Personally, I'd take Jagger over Bono just because Bono has no talent.
You know that
terrible.
Bono would keep the glasses on, even when down. Just those
Bono
bright,
doesn't go down. Come
those
on.
Bright ass jerseys. Bono.
Come on.
like you spread your legs in front of him, and he's like, "What are you thinking? What do you really think I do with my time? I play music with the edge. I don't do that." It was just so. It was like the energy before a heavyweight fight when they're coming through the audience. It warped the whole restaurant around it, and it was just girls. Eating stupid burgers and nachos.
Really? They went to Denny's and they got burgers?
Yeah, burgers.
Fail. They have no taste.
Burgers and nachos. And it was just, it stuck out so profoundly in my head. I was just like, this is what they get. I think maybe because a couple days prior, I had been talking with Will on air and we had gotten into like Jen Sturger. How she has an entire career because one time her tits looked nice. In a top on TV. That's it. And she has a career off of that. I can't wrap my head around it. I still can't. And I'm as to blame as anyone else because these two walked in and just every 30 seconds, I was just putting my palm to my forehead like, why does this exist? Why don't I have it?
Do you remember what? Because you had a companion for this.
Yeah. Right?
Do you remember what you were talking about before and how that conversation went after?
Yeah. It was my buddy Rich back from France, and he's been babysitting an ailing grandmother. So about all that's keeping him sane is playing a lot of Magic cards. Not to name check Magic again and Denny's. And he was just crapping on about Magic cards, and these two walk in, and I wanted to behead him like a journalist.
So he was unfazed, though. See, like, some of this I feel may be your perception.
You're saying it was
of.
Just me. No, even he was like, what are those two doing in here? And I was just like, I don't know, but I just don't need to hear about maniples while I'm looking at that.
Did he? He moved on, though. You dwelled, he moved on, right?
I mean, he would take a gander now and again. They were in my line of sight, though.
So they were behind him?
Exactly. If I needed, like, a pervert's perch to watch these two... and, like, put myself in the place of any corn dogs they might have been eating. Or if they had, like, a frozen banana swallowing contest. I don't know. This is fantasy food land. Like, I had the best seat in the house. I had the best seat in the house for it. So I feel it's unfair. I get it. I'm, like, a horny dude. But some of this was just seeing these two in action and seeing them text. Like, the way they just texted other guys. And, like, they would call... This was their idea of a joke, by the way. And I'm not saying all... beautiful women are dumb and unfunny and stuff. Yeah, thank you.
It's mostly true.
Thank you. Thank you, girl. They would dial a guy off of the others. So let's say there's Bonnie and Trixie. Bonnie would take Trixie's phone and dial a dude.
Oh my God, I'm like totally going to text Sean.
Out of Trixie's that really nailed it. You did well.
I went to middle school, so...
And it'd be like, oh, hey, this is Bonnie. I know you thought it was Trixie, but it was Bonnie. What's up, Greg? So that's what you're doing. And you can just imagine Greg with his moosed hair and his abs.
And his popped collars.
Exactly. And he's just sitting there like, oh, it's just a really hot girl calling me at midnight. No big deal. This thing happens. And I was just like, why? I want to be in this loop. How does that ever...
No, you don't want to be in that
can
loop.
Can I die? Well, I mean, sexually speaking, I do.
Yeah, but it's not actually going to be like a porn movie. It's going to be like mind games and then like telling you that they will do something and then be like, ha, 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 I can't tonight.
But I want to be in that situation.
No, you don't.
It's like saying...
I know you don't have a lot of self-respect, but you have a little more than that.
But this is a place where I'd want to give it away.
Fair.
See, this is actually the challenge I had for you, I think. We were talking off air last time we met, where I wonder if the real challenge for you would be laughing at their unfunny jokes. Just regardless of the quality of joke, would you just laugh at it? Or would you actually like hold these girls to the standard of being funny?
I could laugh. Oh, I could laugh.
This degrades your sense of humor to do such a thing. That's what
Absolutely.
I'm saying. Like, it is the great dilemma of, do you actually want to make it in comedy like this Mike Sachs fellow and all the people he interviewed? Or do you just want to like try to pick up girls who don't tell funny jokes?
You know that like talk to them is going to be like having a conversation with a paper bag. Only maybe the paper bag has something interesting written on it.
You can just not talk much though, right? Like
no.
Doesn't that work? They can talk and you're like, oh, did you see that thing on Netflix? And then they talk. And you're like, oh, my burger's done nicely. See, and then they talk, and then you're like...
Much like the effort you've put into your comedy writing career,
yeah.
I don't think you realize like how much work you have to put in order
yeah.
to get to that point. I'll put it this way. I have an unnamed friend who's had sex with at least a couple hundred guys. And I've seen her in action.
You killed it. I was going to say, what's his name? Continue.
But she... I just remember, like, the hoops these guys would have to jump through.
Wait, she was like that, well, I don't want to slut shame, but she was that big a pump, and she was hot?
No.
Oh, okay.
But I'm saying,
well, there was no hoops.
No, there were hoops.
No, so there's hoops for, like, average girls, you know, like,
I've had sex before, I understand.
Even ladies who, like, love the sex are gonna make you jump through a couple hoops before
yeah.
they... Hot girls? Mm-mm. That's so many hoops. That's like a three-ring circus.
So there's no level of hot where I don't have to do hoops?
No, the hoops, what I'm saying is that the hoops get more complicated the hotter she is. Because she knows that she can get it from
anywhere.
But I
want to feel that like Brad with his popped collar.
No, he has to jump through hoops too.
Really?
He just knows. He's like, oh, they're doing that again. Okay, I'll play along. Maybe in 6 months I'll see a nip.
The allowance... Yeah. Is all behind the scenes. That's what's done behind the scenes. Like, he is allowed to keep his sense of worth because we don't do this in public. Because if we did it in public, then I would be humiliated to date a person who let me do this to them.
Hmm.
It's kind of the irony of it. So, like, all this happens behind the scenes outside the view of others. Because in order to humiliate a man, you have to do it privately. Otherwise, like, then everybody knows you're dating a tool.
It's like very elaborate performance art, being a hot chick.
I wish we were just looser as a culture sexually, so I could show up with like a bag with a dollar sign on it, like I robbed the bank
oh.
in 1880, and just put it on the table.
Okay, your answer
and
is Sweden.
Like, let's do this.
You should go to like Scandinavian countries are like very different than
just
we are.
Just plop right in the middle of their nachos.
So you
should be enough for both you ladies.
Just to diverge a little bit, did you see the, there was something on BuzzFeed or one of those things that was like...
One of those great bastions of journalism.
Exactly.
Continue.
The 27 worst profile pictures on Tinder.
I thought you were going to say kitten something.
No, well, kittens too, but no, this is the worst like profile pictures we've seen on Tinder.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was just a bank account.
Yeah.
It was just the screenshot of a bank account.
I saw that guy.
With like $128,000
yeah.
in it.
It wasn't even that much. I'm sorry.
I thought
like,
it was... I mean, it wasn't like $3 million, but
yeah.
it's, you know...
It's enough, yeah.
But here I'm like, so basically what you're telling me is you don't actually invest your money, you just leave it all in your checking account, which is really stupid because the FDIC only insures up to a certain amount of money, and I'm pretty
oh, yeah,
sure
like
you have above that.
Sitting there.
And somebody could just like wire fraud your money and you wouldn't get any of it back.
You don't
you're
get
an idiot.
It, though. I could go to Taco Bell a lot.
So I think there's a fundamental disconnect between men and women, but...
There's a disconnect between me and those two girls.
Mm, yeah.
And it will never grow closer. Mm.
I'll say, if that's your thing, the place for you is Scandinavia. I do have a friend who has a doctorate. She teaches at an Australian university.
Uh-huh.
She is
I'm just picturing
recently
like
informed me.
The Swedish bikini sex college.
Well, what she told me is that she was going to go to Finland, I believe,
uh-huh.
and study the gym culture there. Because, you know, the American gym culture is built on, like, people in their 20s trying to hit on each other. That's the United States gym culture, right? I mean, you've been going to the gym. Like, I've been to the gym with you. like hanging out in Chantilly, Virginia, lifting weights is not exactly the place to meet.
What? But there's so many shows about it.
No, but I mean, like, that's very much a place when you're in major urban centers that are not in the outer suburbs. That's where people go to meet each other. That's one of those places. Nice.
It's like, I feel like they work out before they go the to the gym so that they can like look really like fit and they like.
Oh yeah, so these pecs pop.
You don't want to be too sweaty when you're trying to talk to someone. If you have a body odor issue, that's not the place that you want to show up.
I don't have BO, but oh, do I sweat doing anything now? I could have like tied a shoelace and it looks like I did a marathon.
So basically, when these chicks walked in, your armpits just immediately like foomf.
Oh yeah, I was dabbing. And because the waiter wasn't tending to me, I didn't have a napkin. I just had to take my straw wrapper and wipe my forehead.
But no, seriously, like the I think it's the Finns. They have this view of the gym. It's just like something everyone in society should do because we should all be healthy. And so when you look at the proportion or the demographics of age and gender, it's just very uniform there. It's just basically everybody who's an adult till the day that they like are incapable of walking goes to the gym and does a little bit of working out. Whereas in the U.S., it's just overwhelmingly women between the ages of like 21 to 30. It's like a disproportionate number of people who belong to gyms are just like trying to sweat off calories.
Well, no, but here's the difference. People who belong to gyms, I absolutely believe that it is women far outranking men. People who actually go to gyms, on the other hand, though, I don't know that. I think that actually might be more even than the like gym memberships would lead you to believe, because there are plenty of women that just pay for a gym membership, and I have been this person that and like I will go eventually at some point.
Oh, I just like having the tag
and then
on
it's
my
just
keychain.
Like, you know what, maybe somebody will think that I go to the gym. Yeah. And it's just it's worth it to just pay them.
Well, it's bad because I've been so lazy about it. Now the tag on my keychain seems almost ironic. Like I'll give it to the service guy getting an oil change or something, he looks, and it's almost like an eyebrow goes up, like The Rock smelling something cooking. Really? Yeah, exactly. You!
Is it next to your Blockbuster membership card? Because I definitely busted out a set of keys the other day that had been kind of lost, and it was like a CVS card. I'm not even kidding.
That's Blockbuster. Power
Blockbuster
video,
rewards.
Baby.
Blockbuster video. Rewards. Gold status. I had gold status at Blockbuster. Cool.
Well, I guess we can punch out on this one.
But I guess the moral of the story is if you just want to like date tall blondes who have no drama, go
I'm
to
also
Sweden.
Good with brunettes and redheads.
Or, you know, if you like tall blondes who are no drama, like find a girl who likes vacationing in Denver.
Oh.
Hey.
Oh. Hey. I see what you did there. I love you, girlfriend. All right. Folks, this was another edition of Papa's Basement, and I hope you enjoyed it. I'm John Papa Giorgio, joined today again by Howard Flood and his lovely girlfriend, Rachel. Show's website's inpapasbasement.com. If you want to subscribe to the show, that's as good a place as any to go. We have all of our old episodes there, as well as my writing and all of our social media contact info. Look up Papa's Basement as well as Papa's Football Podcast on both iTunes and Stitcher. You can subscribe there, rate us. Please give us a good rating. I always feel the need to specify that in case you think it'd be funny and sassy and anti-comedy to crap all over the show, even if you like it. Let's see. God, what else? PFpod.com. That is the website for our football show. Last but not least, TheSpookiesComic.com for the comic that I write along with a buddy of mine at Papa's Basement on Twitter and Facebook.com/Papa's Basement. Howie, you want to plug your thing again?
Nah, not today, man.
Okay. All right. Well, then, on that ambiguous note, we're out of here.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about, nothing to critique. Great show, great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah, you're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb, but I'm on my way.